lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. By your grace then I have found, Lord, let my feet on higher ground.
It's a good life. Coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
We continue our study right now in 1 Peter chapter 4. Now, I'd like to go back and read verses 4 through 6. Now, we haven't read 6 yet, but I'd like to read that today. And verse 4 says, "Wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you." Remember, we spoke about this, that we're not to live like the unsaved people. We're to be the Christians that we are. In other words, we're to be Christ-like. Verse 5 of 1 Peter chapter 4 goes on to say, "Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead?" Jesus Christ is going to judge the quick, those people who are alive. In other words, those people who have trusted him as Savior one day will stand at the judgment seat of Christ, not to be judged for whether they're saved or lost, but because they are saved, they will be at the judgment seat to receive those things they've done in their body for reward. And this is something we need to keep in mind. He will judge the quick. That's the people who have trusted him and received him as Savior. They are alive. And then it talks about and the dead. That's those people who have died without Jesus Christ. They will stand at the judgments, not at the judgment seat, but at the great white throne judgment. And it's sad because then the judgments that's passed upon them, the sentence, Jesus will say, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you." Well, that's sad. Once again, that people who do not receive Christ as Savior, they're going to be cast into the lake of fire. It's sad, but they had a choice to make, and they did not choose Jesus Christ. They chose the wrong way. Well, let me read those verses together with verse 6 now. "Wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit." Well, this seems to be very confusing here, but let me say that God is the author of this, and he does not want us to be confused. I believe what he's saying here, the gospel was preached to everybody. The gospel was preached to those people who are dead. People are dead in trespasses and sins today, but those people who have received him as Savior, they are alive. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, And you hath he quickened," that means made alive, "who were dead in trespasses and sins." And also in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13, it says, "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened," that means made alive, "together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." Those people who have trusted him as Savior, they live according to God in the Spirit. They have been made alive, not by what they did, but by what Jesus has done. He has made us alive who have trusted him. He's quickened us that we would live according to God in the Spirit. But those people who have never trusted him, they're dead. Dead in trespasses and sins. They're dead as they walk this earth right now, those who have not trusted him. In other words, they're dead spiritually. And one day, when they do die, when the body gives up the ghost, we'll say, the breath of life, then they're going to be judged, and they will be cast into the lake of fire because they have not received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now, there's much more I could say about that verse in verse 6, but I want to move on to verse 7 through 18, if we can get through that in this study. But if not, we'll look at the next study and we'll get the rest of it. But in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verses 7 through 19, this tells us how to wait for the coming of Christ. He is coming, by the way. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to seeing my Lord. As we look at these scriptures that we've been going through, and especially this last part of chapter 4, we see how that we are to live until He comes for us, until the second coming of the Lord. Once again, this second coming is going to take place. We will be with Him when He comes back with His second coming. But He's coming for us who name Him as Savior before the second coming. And I want you to understand that today. Once again, there is no such thing as knowing the exact date when the Lord is coming back to set up the kingdom that He has promised in the Word. And just as He is not, we cannot pinpoint a time when He's coming back to set up His kingdom, neither can we pinpoint a time when He's coming back for the saved people of today, the church. Those people have called upon His name to save them. Those people who are saved, there's no way to pinpoint the time when He's coming back in the rapture. In other words, the rapture of the church, or take us up out of here, to rapture us out of here. There is no set time when that is going to take place. At least we do not know of any time. God knows all, and God knows when He's coming back. He knows when Jesus is going to come in the clouds and say, "Come up hither." Well, once again, He has promised that He's going to set up His kingdom. He's promised that He's coming for us. Well, how much closer is His coming for the church? We don't know when He's coming for His second coming. Well, how much closer is He coming for the church, since the church will be gone before the kingdom is set up? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16, it says, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Some people do not believe there's going to be a rapture, but my Bible tells me, as I just read, that we are to look for the rapture when He calls us out of here. And verse 18 tells us why. It says, "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." I'm glad to be comforted today, knowing that Jesus is coming for me. Well, I'm comforted that He's coming for me, and I'm also comforted to know that I may not have to suffer death. He could come back at any moment, and the Bible says we're going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, when He does come back in the clouds to receive us, to receive me as one of His own. And I'm going to be forever with Him. And I say this today, if you know Jesus as your Savior, Jesus loves you. He wants you to be living for Him, and you need to be comforted today, knowing that we are going to be changed in that moment, in a twinkling of an eye, when Jesus comes back for His church. Well, in 1 Peter chapter 4, we're seeing here in verses 7 through 19, once again, how to wait for the coming of Christ. This is speaking of His second coming, of course, not the rapture, but as a child of God today, as a member of His church and His body, I'm also to look for this as to how I am to wait for the coming of Christ in the clouds when He comes to take me to be with Him forever. In other words, it applies to me too, as I'm waiting for Him to come back for me as His child, as a born-again believer during this church age. Well, in verses 7 through 10 of 1 Peter chapter 4, it says this, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Well, I see in these verses 7 through 10 how we should live because the end is near. It talks about being sober. Live soberly. Be seriously watchful in our prayers, according to verse 7. We're to watch with prayer. We're to watch based on the facts that we've seen in the Word of God, that we see daily as we study the Word of God. Rational thinking rather than speculation. In other words, we think spiritually through the Word of God, rather than just using speculation. This means that we look to the Word of God, and it's not something that we think, but it's something that we know is going to take place. It's rational, spiritual thinking from the Word of God. Then we see also in verse 8 how that we are to love each other with extreme enthusiasm. We're to be excited about this. We're to help each other. We're to love one another, and we're to be excited about the coming of our Lord. In verse 9, it says that we're to be hospitable to each other without reluctance. And that word grudging here means reluctance. We're not to have reluctance. In other words, we're not going to grumble about the things that are coming on and off, but we're to build each other up. Remember, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it talks about the rapture of the church. And verse 18 says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. We're to comfort each other daily as the coming of the Lord draws nigh, the Bible says. Well, in verse 10, we're to help or to minister to each other with the gifts God has given to us. And let me put this personal. We're to help each other. We're to help others with the gift that God has given us. You're to do that. You're to help others with the gift that God has given you. It's up to you as a Christian, as a member of the body of Christ, to uplift other people. As we see Jesus' coming, as we wait for Him. In verse 11 of 1 Peter chapter 4, it says this, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Well, we see in verse 11, those who speak and those who serve. We're to communicate. Speak wisely when speaking for God. We're not to just say something that comes into our minds. We're to think before we speak. We're to bring honor and glory to the Lord. And one way we do that is to communicate or speak wise things. Once again, we speak wisely as we've studied the Word of God and as we study the Word, as the Holy Spirit leads and guides us as we pray. Well, remember, we looked at prayer in the earlier part here in verse 7. It talks about watch unto prayer. We're to pray and we're to ask God for His guidance. And then we're to communicate. We're to speak the Word of God. And then we're also to understand that God gives the ability or the gift to help other people. He gives us the ability. It's not on our own. It's not what we do naturally. It's what God gives us. He gives us the gift to be able to speak. And you know that this verse teaches us that God is to receive all the glory for all the things we do through Jesus Christ. It's all of God. It's all of the Lord. It's all of Jesus Christ. Well, in verses 12 through 13, it says this, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Remember, we're looking at how we are to wait for the coming of Christ. These verses, 12 through 13 of 1 Peter chapter 4, talk about when we're subjected to intense persecution. Verse 12 tells us that we're not to be surprised when persecution comes into our life. Jesus Christ suffered persecution, and so will we. And verse 13 says, instead of being surprised, we need to be filled with happiness. We need to count it all joy. Know Him today as your Savior. And if you are saved, know that He's with you and He will guide and direct your paths.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.